In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends like these, who needs enemies? These friends of Job are indeed no friends, as you know the story of Job and how the book proceeds, what they encourage him to do. Job's prayer throughout his ordeal, throughout the bearing of his cross, can indeed be summed up in the words of the explanation of the sixth petition. Namely, to say that God does not tempt Job. Rather, it is the devil, the world through his friends, and his own fallen flesh, which seeks to lead him into deception, into false belief, and finally into despair and other great shame and vice. Job's prayer throughout the bearing of this cross is that although he is attacked by these things, he prays that God in his mercy, God according to his grace, would finally grant him to overcome them and to win the victory. And as you know well from the story of Job, he does indeed overcome these temptations in the mouths of his friends, the temptations at the hands of Satan himself, and even of his own weak flesh, even as you heard him curse the day of his own birth and conception. Because this same Job will say, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last, when my flesh has yet been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom mine eyes shall see and not another. And indeed, this is the one revealed to him by the bearing of his cross. This is the one to whom he is drawn ever more closer to in the bearing of his cross. He does not trust in himself. He does not trust in his own strength, his own wisdom, in the things that he once had. But he trusts in the Redeemer, who will at the last stand upon the earth, who will raise up all flesh, so that with our own eyes we shall see God himself in our flesh with our own eyes. You hear an echo of that in St. John the Baptist's confession. He's neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet like unto Moses. The reason for which he came baptizing was not an end to itself, but was to publicly reveal and to declare to all of Israel, to all of mankind, the Lamb of God who does indeed take away the sin of the world, the man Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the man who is indeed God in our flesh, our Redeemer, who will at the last stand upon the earth in his risen and glorified flesh to raise and to glorify our flesh, even in the midst of whatever crosses we bear, whatever trials and tribulations we must contend with, whereby all the while he is strengthening and preserving and purifying our faith, making it bold and indestructible, obstinately clinging to him and to him alone, that we may be like Job, maybe not in outward affliction, maybe the devil has not taken such a special devoted interest in you, and Lord have mercy upon you if he has. But yet, how often are we like Job? In the midst of a world of so much trial and tribulation, in the midst of so much confusion, in the midst of so much deception about the very nature of the Word of God, how easily do we want to give in? How easily do we want to be led astray? Maybe not want to be led astray, but we give in nonetheless. We are led astray nonetheless. You hear the lie of the devil in the mouth of Job's wife. Curse God and die. because you've lost all your possessions. And far worse is coming. Curse God and die. Be done with this life. Take it into your own hands and put an end to this suffering. Job did not deny, but he confessed. And he confessed, saying, "Shall we praise God when he gives good and not when he gives adversity? I know that my Redeemer lives." God does not tempt you. God does not seek to cause doubt and confusion about his word in your mind or in your heart. The devil does. Remember how he came to Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember how he came to our Lord Jesus himself in the wilderness. Did God really say that you cannot eat from any of these trees in this garden? And the moment Eve engages with it as though it is an honest question, she has sinned. Adam has sinned before her in the fact that he allows her to even engage with the devil. And our Lord's temptation, it's the same thing. He is declared publicly by the voice of the Father to be the beloved Son in whom the Father is well pleased. And in Luke's account, you have the baptism of Jesus and the proclamation by the Father that he is his beloved Son. And then Luke gives his genealogy, which goes all the way back to Seth, the son of Adam, the Son of God. Hammering home the point, if you missed it, that Jesus is in fact the Son of God. And what does the devil say to him when he comes to him in the wilderness? If you are the Son of God, turn the stones into bread, throw yourself down from the high place of the temple, because it is written. And then he drops all pretense and says, "Bow down and worship me." Satan does not come in his full hellish countenance, but he comes in deception. He comes in subtlety. He comes in trickery and deceit to introduce simple doubt about the word of the Lord. But it is indeed a slippery slope. Doubt about the word of God quickly leads to false belief, to believing the wrong things about God and who he is and what he has done for you in Christ. And false belief quickly leads into despair, to apostasy, to a loss of faith. If God had answered my prayer in the way that I expected, when I wanted, but he didn't, therefore God does not exist. And if God does not exist, then I will not be encumbered by these outdated commandments. I will live how I want, when I want, doing the things that I want that please me. And who cares if that cuts you off from family, if that cuts you off from friends? You definitely don't care if it cuts you off from the church. But how long can you wallow in other shame and vice, cut off from everyone else, until you are like that prodigal son feeding pigs in the midst of a famine and realize just how miserable and broken you are? That's what Satan is trying to lead Job into. That's the message he's bringing to him through his friends and even through his wife. But he will not be overcome, because his trust is the one revealed centuries later, millennia later, by John the Baptist. His trust, his confidence, is in the Lord his God, who has redeemed him from sin, death, and the devil, who has taken upon himself all of Job's iniquities, all of Job's temptations, all of Job's failings, and has nailed them to himself upon the cross, and who has left them dead in the dust of the grave, and who has risen to new and everlasting life, who promises to Job, who promises to you, who promises to your loved ones who have departed in the faith, new and everlasting life, and the resurrection of your body, like unto the resurrection of his. John's ministry is fulfilled in the baptizing of Jesus, because he is revealed publicly for all men to know that he is the one upon whom the Spirit descends and remains, the one from whom the Spirit proceeds at the will of the Father. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin, and the sin of all the world, and who in himself grants you victory over the temptations and assaults of the devil, the world, and your sinful nature, that unholy and vile Trinity. He grants you the victory in himself as he has crushed the serpent's head, as he has rent apart the iron fetters of death, as he lives again. And he will grant you an end to these assaults. The day will come when he will lift that cross from off your shoulders. The day when you do indeed rest in peace in him, delivered from all the trials and afflictions of this world, awaiting in peace the day of his coming again in glory, when he shall be revealed to all men to know fully and completely exactly who Jesus is. On that day, he will reunite body and soul, raise your body up in glory and in perfection, that even after your skin has thus been destroyed, yet in your flesh you shall see your Redeemer who lives and who stands upon the earth in his own flesh. This is the one, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you will see with your own eyes, and not another. In Jesus' name, amen.